Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
I gotta tell you, I'm still just completely flipping mad over this Cawthorn thing. And I think my response is the right one. I think he's just too dumb to realize what landmine he stepped on and how dangerous this could be. But I also think the other side of it is I don't think he actually cares. And for me, that's the most scary part of all of this, is that he doesn't. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on maybe a little bit on this Madison Cawthorn tweet that has me all riled up. And also, you know, hey, look, we need massive investment across the entire country, especially in a state like West Virginia. And you got Joe Manchin, who seems to be doing everything in his power to ensure we get nothing. That's why I've asked Justin Williams to come talk with us. Justin is an attorney for the International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 132 in West Virginia. They represent workers throughout the United States and Canada. Justin, thanks for taking time for us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So let's start with this Madison Cawthorn thing. Am I reading too much into this? Am I taking this too far? Is this just a guy who's stupid and didn't know what he did? Or is this really, like I've been thinking, this is a much bigger situation that the Republican Party hell-bent on taking us back to the good old days of the 1880s and 1890s?
You know, I think it's sad, really, that somebody would want to take us back to that. Being from West Virginia, you know, where we're 100 years from Blair Mountain just last week or whatever. And so where people had to fight literally with our own government to protect their interests at that point. And it was, you know, like you were mentioning before, just very little company stores. And so for someone to take the last line of defense, and that's kind of what I think OSHA is, the last line of defense for workers, right? I mean, it's the bare minimum protections, right? They're not going above and beyond to protect workers. They're just saying, this is the minimum. You have to do this as an employee or an employer to protect your employees. And employers still don't do that. They still don't protect their workers, particularly, you know, where there's not representation by a union who aren't willing to fight for the workers' rights or safety and welfare of their workers. And so, you know, it's just sad that someone would think about working class people that way.
But again, you know, I'm going to stick with he's just stupid and didn't really think it through. But ultimately, this still is the Republican platform. But I look at like West Virginia, and I'll be honest, you know, West Virginia is one of those states that has a rich, long, bloody history with workers. And, you know, in 2013, we did a labor history tour that took us right through Logan County to talk about the Battle of Blair Mountain. And we were met by a welcoming crew. The Friends of Coal showed up with their big hats, their belt buckles, their sidearms, and of course, their bumper stickers, Friends of Coal this, Friends of Coal that. And sadly, a number of them were actually being screwed over by the coal companies as we were speaking, trying to take their health care and their pensions, but they were still out there defending them. And it's just a twisted kind of moment. It was a twisted kind of moment for me.
It is. It's hard. And we see it in, you know, not only West Virginia, but across the country, people, you know, I'll say voting in that bigger sense of the word against their best interests. Right. And so, you know, we talk about Friends of Coal, but we also talk about Friends of Coal Miners. And right. And that's really what labor has been, the friend of the coal miner. And that's what we look for, you know, to protect those workers, you know, as you mentioned, when they're still trying to take their pension to this day by, you know, using the bankruptcy courts. And, yep. And it's just a sham of what these companies have done to these workers.
And just to clarify, so we don't get these terms confused.
Sure.
The UMWA, the United Mine Workers, they are the Friends of Coal Miners. The Friends of Coal are basically a lobby group for the coal barons and the corporations who give out stickers and hats and T-shirts and organize people to, because, hey, they're coming for our coal, because the Green New Deal is going to end coal mining in a state like West Virginia. And I'm at this place, Justin, where, you know, coal is sadly a thing of the past. We're not going to continue to burn it like we did in the past. The future is renewables. And if I'm Joe Manchin, if I'm somebody in West Virginia, I want to use what leverage I've got to get all of those jobs to replace the coal mining jobs so that people don't have to die of black lung. They don't have to have families go down, you know, 3,000, 4,000 feet into the ground just to make a living. This seems like an opportunity for West Virginia in an enormous way to remake their economy.
Yeah, I mean, I think West Virginia has to do all of the above, right? We as a country can't go away from coal mining tomorrow and coal production and power usage. And so, you know, I think it has to be a well thought out plan. And I think sometimes we get caught up into the politics of it on both sides of it, you know, and I think we have to, you know, make sure that we're looking out for the workers, right, first and foremost, and making sure that the coal miners, the people that do the construction on the powerhouses, our guys that go in and work on it and do the shutdowns, are able to keep those jobs and have good jobs and build renewables. You know, we're lucky the operators have been a part of every windmill built in West Virginia. And so, you know, we are proud of that work. And, you know, if you go to our website, you'll see a video about the windmill project that we've worked on currently. You know, we're working with the solar developers in West Virginia as well. You know, so it is a, you know, West Virginia needs it all. You know, as we're all well aware, we sit at the bottom of most of the good rankings and the top of most of the bad ones. So we want to make sure that our workers are protected and they have the opportunity, right? And there's a lot of opportunity out there. And I think taking this infrastructure bill and investing it gives us that opportunity. And so that's really what we're hoping for, is that there is some of that real investment in West Virginia.
Yeah, but you know, I watched Joe Manchin over the weekend doing all the Sunday shows. He's not going to do this. He's not going to do that. Not going to allow this to happen. It seems like he's trying to do everything he can possibly do to restrain our ability to invest in the future, and especially in a state like West Virginia. So, you know, is it just me, or should the folks in your state be going, hey, Joe, you should be working to bring things home? You know, there used to be a phrase called bringing home the bacon. You should be bringing home some bacon, Joe. We need better roads and bridges. We need better opportunities for our workers. But we also need the human infrastructure stuff, better education for our kids, better health care for our seniors, better opportunities to move the state and the country forward. That, to me, seems like where things should be going in your state.
I think that is the end goal for the people of West Virginia. You know, what I can say for the operators is that we have to, you know, start with something, right? And we don't get to the end game by getting nothing, right? So, you know, as much as we have great conversations and good relations with Joe Manchin, and we would love to have more, right? Everybody wants more. But we really want that investment now in the infrastructure that has passed the Senate. And nobody agrees on anything all the time, but we do need that infrastructure in West Virginia, whether it's, you know, the Virgin Hyperloop that's in that bill that's going to build a test center in West Virginia. And there's money in there for abandoned coal mines, and there's money in there for energy and safety and pipelines. And so there's a lot of money out there coming to West Virginia that we need desperately now. And you know, the hope is that all of this comes down the pipeline at some time, but we really need that investment now for West Virginia.
My fear from the beginning, and this is, I don't know if you'll share my fears or not, but my fear from the beginning is that you're going to have someone like Joe Manchin, someone like Kristen Simina, who are going to say, no, we can't spend the $3.5 trillion on the human infrastructure side. You know, that's completely out of control. And Manchin has said that. He said, you know, maybe $1 trillion, maybe $1.5 trillion, which is not going to be palatable to the more progressives in the House. So my concern is they're going to end up canceling themselves out. And by the end of this year, we get nothing. And that, to me, is the worst possible option, the worst possible outcome. Do you share that fear?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely the biggest fear, is that we get nothing, right? I mean, that's kind of, you know, as pragmatic as it sounds, you know, what passed the Senate has bipartisan support, and there's an appetite for that. And that's what I think, you know, I know it doesn't include all that, you know, personal capital, you know, human capital infrastructure, but if we can put people to work in West Virginia, that helps immensely just on day one. And the other things that come along after that, I think would be beneficial to working class people here too. and just having those jobs is important. You know, getting the opportunity to have a road that's connected to the next section of the highway. You know, they're finishing up part of Quarter H, which goes from the middle state out towards Virginia and DC. And if that would connect, it would cut time off to for transportation to get materials in and out of West Virginia. So it would be an opportunity to develop a new, you know, manufacturing facility. And that's what we talk about, bringing manufacturing jobs back to West Virginia, actual growth, right? And so there's some steel mills that are here working on windmill parts. And so it's we need that investment now. And that's a big fear that, you know, when we bicker over $1 trillion versus $3 trillion, which seems crazy to, you know, someone like me who just goes to work every day, that we're arguing over trillions of dollars, that we have to get that investment now.
Yeah, I'm with you. We do need the hard infrastructure, but I also agree with the progressives that we do need to undo the last 40 years of the attack on the social safety net in this country, because it's my view that the anger that we're seeing in society is the fact that, you know, a generation of working people my age and a little bit older, we're told that if you work hard, you played by the rules, you are going to lead the American dream, you are going to retire with some dignity and respect. And they've gotten to these years and they're going, it didn't happen. We lost our defined benefit pensions because companies were able to steal it. They promised us these 401ks that never quite panned out. And now there's nothing to help us. And this is a way that, you know, some of the progressives have said, look, you know, we're going to pass this bill through the House to help maybe buoy people up a little bit. So I kind of see it on their side, too.
Sure. I mean, I think they have a lot of valid arguments for that, you know, soft infrastructure. I myself have a family and kids. And so, you know, my working wife as well. So like we have a 2-household working, and, you know, it's a lot when there's, you know, childcare issues, particularly in the middle of a pandemic. So I think, you know, those are all valid concerns, but, you know, going for what my members do every day, get up. And as you were talking about before, the people that actually build this country, they need that hard infrastructure dollars, you know, yesterday, really. And, right. And we need that investment. And so that's what we're trying to do.
Don't disagree with that. But, you know, but you got to understand there's leverage points.
Oh, yeah.
And this is my fear. My fear is that one side's not going to blink, that, you know, and we're going to end up, you know, playing chicken and end up smashing into each other and get nothing. That's my fear. So when you're talking to your members, when you're talking to people in your state, what's the sentiment now? Is it we just want the hard infrastructure and we don't really care about anything else? Is it that there's a need for both? What kind of response are you getting from folks?
No, I mean, I definitely think there's a need for all of it, right? It's people want, I think they've seen what can pass the Senate, and they've seen, you know, in the grand scheme of, they see people a bill pass the Senate and they think, oh, okay, it passed the Senate, we're moving it, let's go, let's take this money, you know, kind of not really seeing it. And it got all the press, right? I mean, it got all it was on the news, Manchin, Capito, they're pushing this infrastructure plan, and we're going to build bridges and roads and all that. And so, you know, people now, they expect that, particularly here in West Virginia, because, you know, both of our senators were the kind of the center point of those conversations back and forth for the last 3 months. And so, you know, the other conversations are happening out there, amongst groups, all over the board. And so, but, you know, I hear from my members, especially, that, you know, the hard infrastructure is what they need. And that's just because that's what they do every day. That's what they know. And so that's what they're focused
on. No, we all want our jobs, man.
We all want
to make sure we can get up and go to work in the morning, and that those jobs, you know, pay a decent wage and all that. And one of the things that I'm actually surprised about is that Republicans didn't really push to take prevailing wage out of the $1.2 trillion hard infrastructure plan. Now they did screw over the workers in the telecom area, because that's outside of all of that. But for the most part, the roads, the bridges, all that stuff, I was surprised they left the prevailing wage in.
Yeah, I mean, we were excited about that, and that was, you know, one of the big conversations that we had with Senator Manchin and with Senator Capito, in conversations. And we're lucky that they both have been, you know, pretty good allies on that issue, of the Davis-Bacon, particularly wages on those federal projects. you know, so we're excited that it stayed in there, and that's a great for workers across West Virginia and across the country for that matter.
Yeah, I would hope they would stay in there, because your own governor came out and said gutting prevailing wage doesn't work, passing the no rights at work nonsense, that doesn't work. None of the right wing playbook actually works, but they still passed it anyway. So since Jim Justice came out and said that you know, we right to work didn't bring jobs in, ending prevailing wage didn't bring jobs in, none of the tricks and ponies that the Republicans pull out actually helped. Did they go back and undo any of those things?
Oh, of course not. Of course not. You know, there have been some conversations, and we're talking to a lot of our friends who are friends of labor, both on the Republican and the Democrat side here in the state. You know, our state legislature is a little different because it was Democratic for so long, and now it's Republican majority like a lot of places. But there's a decent amount of Republicans who are friends of the working class, we'll say. They're not necessarily all pro-union, but they're still understanding of our issues, and we're working on those every day. But it was a gift when the governor said that, just to reassure what we all knew, that, you know, they didn't work, they didn't bring jobs. But what has actually brought jobs is our members doing good work for companies that are relocating to West Virginia.
No, but here's the thing. I believe Jim Justice and the Republicans knew that none of that stuff was going to work anyway. It was just on their wet dream list that they had to go forth and do to make their donors happy. At least that's just my take on it. Last line of questioning I've got for you. You know, as you said a moment ago, the 100th anniversary of the Battle of Blair Mountain happened, where literally a million shots were fired in this labor war. You had the employers dropping bombs on the head of striking workers. This history is something that is never told, never taught in our schools. In fact, most people didn't even know it was the 100th anniversary. How do we move that messaging forward? How do we get that message out, do you think, in a better way?
You know, that's a great question. A few years back, when Dems were still in charge in West Virginia, they did pass a Labor History Week in West Virginia, and it is part of our curriculum in West Virginia. But across the country, you know, I think we have a real opportunity to talk about labor. You know, you see all the polls where public and society do support unions, right? I think we just have to do a better job of talking about why we, you know, people still say, oh, well, we don't need unions nowadays. They, you know, but we see it every day, whether it's here in West Virginia or in Alabama with Amazon workers, or, you know, wherever the case may be, there are people who are being abused by their employers. Yep. And, you know, I think that comes full circle all the way back to the OSHA stuff. I mean, if we're not tracking these bad employers with OSHA fines and violations, we don't know who they are, and they're just going to scapegoat. Yep. So we have to be able to hold them accountable while protecting our workers, and show the rest of the country that we are here to protect your rights and fight for your rights and make for a better working class people.
There you go. Justin, I appreciate the time. Great talking with you. I hope you'll come back and talk to us again real soon.
Thanks. I really appreciate it, Rick.
Good stuff. Justin Williams. He's an attorney for the International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 132. I'd love to hear your thoughts. You can email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Quick break. Right back after this. Stick around and listen to The Rick Smith Show. All working people come to talk.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.